Thank you, Jonga, and a blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Friday, October 23rd, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande. Here are our top stories this evening. A peace prize awarded to President Robert Mugabe by the Chinese this week generates controversy in Zimbabwe and around the world.
The Chinese don't consider human rights much in the same way as we do, don't consider progress in economics much in the same way as they do, given that Zimbabwe's economy has tanked and has been tanking since President Mugabe came into power.
All is not well in Rusape, where five people, including three journalists, have been arrested after police allegedly severely assaulted some of them after a court hearing. And classical music is the last thing one would expect a Zimbabwean to excel in. Hisham Breedlove is an exception, hitting the high notes from his bass in the United States. These and much more coming up. Stay tuned. A peace prize awarded to President Robert Mugabe by the Chinese this week has generated controversy in Zimbabwe and around the world. Mr. Mugabe won the Confucius Peace Prize this week, beating distinguished individuals such as the United Nations Secretary General Ban Ki-moon and Microsoft co-founder Bill Gates, among others. The body running the award gifted the 91-year-old Zimbabwean leader for injecting fresh energy into the global stage and working hard to bring political and economic order in his country. Previous winners of the Chinese award modeled around the Nobel Peace Prize include Russian leader Vladimir Putin and Fidel Castro of Cuba. Opposition members are outraged, calling the award to Mr. Mugabe an aberration. Reporter Ntungamili Nkomo reached MDCT lawmaker Abednego Bebe for more.
The problem that we have with China is they are not sincere, they are not honest, they are not actually helping anything to go by in Zimbabwe. It's so frustrating that you hear a country like China giving a peace award to Mugabe, who has actually terrorized the people of Zimbabwe. We have seen Mugabe since 1980 terrorizing people through the Kukuraundi. We have seen Mugabe doing the disappearances. We have seen Mugabe killing MDC people. So therefore, how then would you say you are giving a man a peace award? This country is so poor this day as we talk right now. There is no money in the country. There are no jobs in the country. Everybody is suffering. People sleep, eat once a day. And they are saying Mugabe has actually maintained and has given peace to Zimbabwe, has given basic needs for Zimbabweans. How then would you say that? The most disturbing things about Chinese is we are poor as a result of them illegally benefiting or conniving with the same Mugabe to benefit while Zimbabweans are not benefiting.
What do you think would be the motivation then for the Chinese if by your account there is nothing to celebrate about the way Mr. Mugabe has been running the country?
Actually, what I think is it's actually a thank you for the Chinese to loot our resources in Zimbabwe. It's actually a thank you for Chinese to actually destroy our environment in Zimbabwe. We have seen the mining in rivers. We have seen them joining gold panels and destroying the environment. So they are actually thanking Zimbabweans or thanking Mugabe for allowing them to destroy our country.
That was MDCT lawmaker Abednego Bebe on the line from Bulawayo. But ZANU-PF lawmaker Joseph Chuma defended the award.
You note that the president has always been in the forefront of trying to make sure that our country remains as peaceful as we can ever get. The president has worked around the clock preaching the gospel of peace. So he has been a man of peace, preaching peace, and according him, that kind of accolade definitely is not misplaced, but rather it is recognition of his unwavering efforts to always keep the country peaceful.
But how would you respond to critics who say that this is absurd because Mr. Mugabe's rule has been characterized by political violence, human rights violations, and a crumbling economy?
That kind of critic, obviously, will be a regime change mechanism. Why? Because African politics, we all know, such things happen. But what is important is that the person in the driver's seat, what is their take about that kind of situation? Our president has been in the forefront of leading the peace initiative. He has come out clean and open in front of everybody to say, we do not want violence. He has never condoned violence.
That was ZANU-PF lawmaker Joseph Chuma on the line from Bulawayo with Studio 7's Ntungameli Nkomo. For perspective, Ntungameli Nkomo reached political analyst Nkululeko Sibanda.
The Chinese don't consider human rights much in the same way as we do, don't consider progress in economics much in the same way as they do, given that Zimbabwe's economy has tanked and has been tanking since President Mugabe came into power, and yet they are awarding him for this, they are awarding him for peace, when President Mugabe can hardly be associated with any peace initiative. He was one of the serious belligerents in the DRC and so forth. He never advocated for peace, and he never gives up. And he talks the language of violence. He talks about degrees of violence. So you couldn't, under any circumstances, give him this prize unless you had an odd definition of peace itself and progress.
Or maybe we are seeing a case of birds of the same feather here, because China also stands accused of gross human rights violations.
Certainly, China has become the rogue element in the world, where a few days ago the Chinese came out saying, look, we can always disagree on human rights because human rights in our culture is fundamentally different from human rights in other people's cultures. And therefore, I think that they see what we think are abuses by President Mugabe as part of a human rights effort to sort of build an economy and resist the Western world.
That was a political analyst Nkululeko Sibanda on the line with Studio 7 from England. Police in Rusape have arrested two MDCT officials and three journalists following a court hearing in which the party's organizing secretary for Makoni Central Constituency, Tazwiwo Namarima, was granted a $100 bail following his incarceration 2 days ago. MDCT spokesperson for Manicaland Province, Trevor Saruaka, explains the situation currently obtaining in Rusape to Sandra Nyaira.
Things are indeed not well in Rusape. We have seen police brutality in play again. When the people were coming out of court celebrating, they were met with the police, heavily armed with police dogs that were set on this celebrating Zimbabwe. Their only crime was, why were they celebrating the release of a wrongfully arrested cadre?
So how many people have been arrested?
Five people in total have been arrested. Three journalists, Sydney Size, the other journalist is Kenneth Nyangani from Newsday, and Bernard Chiketo from Daily News was also arrested. Then I can also report that Mr. David Chikeshe, Deputy Treasurer General for MDCT in Manicaland, was picked together with Mr. Ziswa Valentine. And Mr. Chikeshe was, dogs were let on him, and he was kicked with in the head. He was handcuffed, beaten up with a baton stick. So he was bleeding all over. His shirt was all red. And he was thrown into the back of the police van, taken to police.
And has anyone been taken to hospital as far as you know?
Yes, I witnessed a lorry packed with police escorting Mr. David Tekeshe to Rusape General Hospital. It was as if they are taking a hardcore criminal with baton sticks, with guns armed to the teeth. Riot police taking Mr. Tekeshe to hospital.
That was MDCT spokesperson for Manicaland Province, Trevor Saruaka. The district police officer for Rusape, Dispol Gwangwa, was not readily available for comment. The Renewal Democrats of Zimbabwe Party began its two-day elective congress today, with former Energy Minister Elton Mangoma being endorsed as the party leader. Thomas Chiripasi has more details from Harare.
Close to 2,000 delegates converged in Harare today for the inaugural Congress of the Renewal Democrats of Zimbabwe, or RDZ. Former Energy Minister Elton Mangoma, who was not challenged for the position of party president, told VOA Studio 7 that four people, including him, were elected unopposed. Beauty Care, who was a member of the MDC Renewal Team National Working Committee, was elected Mangoma's deputy, while Trust Chikohora, an IT specialist who was the interim secretary general, was confirmed substantively to the same position. Mangoma told Studio 7 that Congress delegates will discuss the party's proposed constitution and map the party's strategy for national elections expected in 2018.
We are going to talk about adoption of our constitution so that everyone understands the constitution, and we move forward with a document that is properly agreed and discussed.
The former energy minister said RDZ was ready to form a coalition for elections with parties that share the same values with his party, although he says time is not yet ripe for such a coalition.
What we are looking at is a pathway to renew and transform the current ZANU-PF system, which has brought us to where we are. And then there are some political parties that are on a pathway to power, simply to be able to say, let's replace this.
He urged President Robert Mugabe to choose his successor, saying age was now taking its toll on him.
Well, the one thing that we have, we plead with President Mugabe is that he must, at this stage, given his advanced age, be able to do a smooth handover of power.
Meanwhile, Pishai Muchauraya, who landed the position of party spokesperson without any contest, said the RDZ membership is growing every day, adding that some unnamed parliamentarians were working with his party. The RDZ does not have any representation in parliament. Fortune Munyonga, who was elected to the position of youth president, said his immediate task is to mobilize youth countrywide so that they participate in national processes. The RDZ Congress is expected to end tomorrow with a full National Executive Committee being elected into office. Mangoma spearheaded the formation of RDZ following leadership wrangles between him and Tendai Biti in the MDC renewal team that broke away from former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai after the opposition's defeat at the hands of ZANU-PF in the disputed 2013 polls. Tendai Biti has now formed his own party called People's Democratic Party. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
I am Blessing Zulu. This week and the following one, I'll be bringing you a range of interviews from ZANU-PF and Zimbabwe's opposition parties on their solutions to the country's economic and political crisis. Today, we interview the leader of Mavambo Kusile Dawn Party, Dr. Simba Makoni. And next week on Monday, we'll give you a one-on-one interview with Professor Walsh Mengube, the leader of the MDC. Don't miss this very important series.
Indeed, just like you heard from the man himself, Blessing Zulu, he speaks with Mavambo Kusile Dawn Simba Makoni on what his party has to offer Zimbabwe if elected into office. He says Zimbabwe is suffering because of bad managers.
What's wrong with our economy is the management. Firstly, unclear policies, inconsistent policies, very few good policies, inappropriate policies, but worse, the few good policies, no implementation. So what I would do differently is state very clearly what we're going to do and then go ahead to do it and do it effectively and timelessly.
If you can give us an example of what you would do, what policies would you offer?
First of all, we would want policies that encourage people to invest their money. And at the moment, there are a number of policies that discourage Zimbabweans and foreigners from investing. The first one is the overall government hostility to business. President Mugabe and his ministers regard business as enemies, going right back from the time of independence. Secondly, the government has promulgated a number of policies that conflict and contradict with encouraging investment. The most, shall I say, notorious, famous, well-known is the Indigenization and Empowerment Law. And you and I have talked about this a couple of times before. We can elaborate on it. But it's not the only one. The land policy. It's not that government sought to acquire land that's discouraging people from investing. It is the lack of security. It's the lack of certainty. Do I own this piece of land, or even do I occupy it on lease? And what kind of lease? Today, and will I still occupy it tomorrow, or will I be kicked out by a bunch of youths or war veterans or other politicals? It's the lack of support, not so much handouts as policies that encourage banks to lend to farmers and input suppliers to give facilities to farmers, as used to happen between 1980 and 1997 or 2002 even. Those policies are not there. If you're in mining, can you invest on a 25 to 30 year venture and count on your investment not only being recovered but giving you a return? I could go through sector by sector. The one word that characterizes Zimbabwe at the moment is uncertainty and inconsistency. And this is common. It pervades all our lives.
But what seems to be the problem here? Why is there so much policy discord in ZANU-PF? Is it because the center cannot hold? What is causing the problem?
I don't know if there's one problem, but we could say all the problems revolve around the politics of Robert Mugabe. His second campaign, Bill Clinton coined this word, is the economy gone stupid. In Zimbabwe, it's the politics gone stupid. And the politics has gone stupid because Robert Mugabe is committed to keeping his power at any cost by any means. And any cost means no jobs, company closures, food deficits. It means fear, it means violence, it means intimidation. As long as he's sitting in the throne, he couldn't care less.
That was the leader of Mawambokusile Don Simba Makoni speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare. And now we take a look at regional and international news. South Africa has scrapped a proposed tuition fee hike following days of protests and demands by students. And a road accident in France near the city of Bordeaux has killed at least 42 people, mostly retirees from a small village. And in sports news, the Zimbabwe football family is already celebrating qualification to the CHAN Championships even before the Warriors have even gone into the field of play for their final game. Reporter Michael Kariati tells us why.
The Warriors carry a healthy 3-1 lead ahead of Sunday's return leg of the final qualifying round of the 2016 African Nations Championships qualifier against the Crocodiles of Lesotho. Those two goals from Roderick Mtuma and another from Captain Dan Piri have given the Zimbabwe football public the belief that the Warriors are on their way to Rwanda for the Continental Football Showpiece, which will feature 16 of the best national football teams on the continent. Even the players themselves believe they'll be in Rwanda, and Captain Piri has promised celebration for the millions of Zimbabwean football-loving fans.
I would like to promise them that we'll try and get to the CHAN finals and hopefully go through to the finals this time.
Football analyst Andrew Rhodzi also thinks the Warriors have too much firepower for the Crocodiles, who have beaten Zimbabwe only once in the past 35 years, although he says the Warriors should guard against complacency.
I am seeing my home country winning, but I think they should not relax and be complacent, thinking that it's an automatic win. Because due to what has happened, I want to think Lesotho has been rebuilding their effort.
Despite being in the lead, national team coach Calisto Pasua says he's going to employ an all-out attacking system.
We might say we need to attack with four guys, I mean four, five, six guys going offensively. Then we'll have four balancing. We can say maybe we want the fullbacks to go and having those two defenders, defensive midfielders being on the central position and the two central defenders at the back.
The scorer of the two important home goals, Mutuma, has recovered from injury after missing training Wednesday and will lead Zimbabwe's assault for goals. Mutuma will be carrying the mantle of leading Zimbabwe, but back at his club, home of Dynamos, he'll be missed as the Zimbabwean champions engage Flame Lily in a Casolaga Premier Soccer League showdown at Lafaji in Mabuku tomorrow. Despite the Warriors' international engagement, the Premier Soccer League have lined up five games over the weekend, one of which is the Dynamos assignment against the relegation-threatened Prison Warders. Although Dynamos are 6 points behind leaders Chicken Inn, with only five games remaining, coach Tonira Indiraya is still optimistic and is refusing to throw in the towel and believes there is still hope. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Kariato.
And in today's music segment, we bring you a Zimbabwean classical musician who's set on breaking into the world of classical music. Hisham Breedlove was born in Harare but left for the United States 15 years ago. He's a countertenor, which is equivalent to the range of a female soprano. In other words, a very high note. Breedlove visited VOA recently and shared his story with Studio 7's Ndimiake Mwakalyelye.
My full name is Hisham Harold Breedlove, and I recently matriculated with my master's in voice, so I guess you could technically call me an opera singer. My basis of my classical training started in good old Zimbabwe, right there in Harare, at Highland School. And I went on to Prince Edward School, where I did a couple years, and I was discovered by the Drakensberg Boys Choir in South Africa. They had come down, I auditioned, and they invited me up to attend the school. And wow. So I left, did a few years there, came back, did my last year at Prince Edward and went off to America for college.
Dominus, Dominus tecum, benedicta toi mulieribus.
Unfortunately, when I was growing up in Zimbabwe, I left when I was 12 years old, and we weren't taught any Shona songs,
okay,
or Ndebele songs, mm-hmm, in the schools at that time, which I regret.
Mm-hmm.
I wish they did. But I wound up leaving Zimbabwe when I was 12, as I had mentioned, to go to the Drakensberg Boys Choir,
yes,
where we had a 2 to 3 hour performance repertoire,
mm-hmm,
which was divided in half, an hour and a half of classical and an hour and a half of African. So I got the opportunity to learn several songs in Xhosa, Zulu, Tswana. I'll sing the popular one that was popularized by the famous Miriam Makeba, yeah, the click song. Okay, here it goes.
Inglicha, Langwella, Uyazun Khan, Otwane. Inglicha, Langwella, Uyazun Khan, Otwane.
it. I miss the gumboot dancing and the passion of my colleagues when I was singing with them in South Africa. I think Zimbabwe is so undiscovered. It's undiscovered. And there's just so much talent. So much talent there. Even though we had to take up two instruments, African instruments were also offered to us as well. I took the mbira and the karimba.
So what's your favorite and what song resonates with you?
It's actually the song I'm about to sing. It's entitled La Shia Kyokpianga. It's an Italian aria, and it is written for the countertenor voice. It was written for the castrati voice, which was a voice type that was popular during the 16th century. And these castrati were viewed as the Jay-Z's and Beyoncé's of their time. Mm-hmm. They've had this huge comeback now. Fortunately enough, we don't need to castrate anymore. We just look for folks that actually have the natural talents, which I happen to be blessed with. And so here goes.
That was a Zimbabwean classical musician Hisham Breedlove speaking with Studio 7's Ndimiake Mwakalyele. We've posted Breedlove's interview and a video on our website www.studio7news.com and Facebook. Check it out. And now to recap today's top stories. A Peace Prize awarded to President Robert Mugabe by the Chinese this week generates controversy in Zimbabwe and around the world. All is not well in Rusape, where five people, including three journalists, have been arrested after police allegedly severely assaulted some of them after a court hearing. And remember to stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our host will lead discussions about the Chinese award given to President Mugabe this week. call us at 001-202-465-0318. My name is Chris Gande. Good night, Zimbabwe. I'm leaving you in the safe hands of Ntungameli Nkomo.